OK， 来。
OK， a very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Tamil.、We have just had our lunch, and today is a Sunday, 17 September 2017, also the third day of our spiritual trip to Guangzhou and Guilin. We are still in Guangzhou. Today, the itinerary is a bit different because we are not visiting temple, we are visiting what they call mountains. Then there's a lot of walking. So while you walk, you can treat it like an exercise. So what I will share with you is some Dhamma behind all this spiritual tour. We call it the spiritual tour trip is because not everything in the itinerary is pointed towards the Dhamma aspect or regarding visiting temples, especially Liu Chu Si, Nan Huo Si, and all these famous monasteries that we are visiting. And I was told just now at lunchtime by the guide, Owen and Mr. Han, that this journey will take 1.5 hours. So I said to Mr. If it's 1.5 hour, then good, we can have some time to share the essential Dhamma. So now I will start the sharing officially with you. Like I said just now, if you take it as a Sunday morning exercise, then you will not feel so bad. Anyway, it's a good exercise where you really sweat. So sweating is for the physical body. We exercise the physical body. But when you are on some spiritual come to a trip, if you are mindful and heedful, you also exercise your mindfulness, your mind. If you are sensitive, you can feel a lot of things. You can learn a lot of things. You can also develop heedfulness and mindfulness to arise the causes and conditions for Dhamma to be discussed, and through all this discussion you can also learn, and a lot of things that is meant to be will be. So exercise can mean many things, not only physically for the body, it can also arise the condition for people to exercise their mindfulness, their Dhamma understanding, their thought process, and develop heedfulness when you are in the midst of activity while visiting all these places. You can be mindful, silent, to feel. There are many things you can understand. Not only the nature. Like I always share, your Dhamma is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. Why can't you see? Truth is everywhere. Why can't you see? You can silence your mind, develop the faith, then the mindfulness leading to the heedfulness. You will see a lot of things, you will learn a lot of things. So that is a very important key understanding which I have given you all when we were having the briefing before we come. That before the trip starts, you were reminded to develop the faith, the sadha, virya, then the mindfulness leading to the heedfulness, and this will benefit you tremendously. So because of that, we will start off with the first visit to the unique mountain. They call it the Yin and Yang mountain. You got one where the Yang energy, which is male energy, they call it the Yang Yuan Shi, is it? Yang Yuan Shi. Then the other one is the feminine or yin energy, yin yang shi. When you are walking up, you may recall, one side is sunny, the other side is shady. So again, most of them shift over to the shady side. But if you are mindful, if you are heedful, you will observe on the way up, there is a lot of black ants crawling on the concrete pavement where you walk up. So most of them I saw, they just walk without looking at the pathway, without realizing that many of these ants, they are either hurt or some killed. So this is not to make you feel bad, understand? But what I want you to understand is, if you have the information on the in future, you will be more sensitive. Then the moment you see, you will know what to do. This is to prevent you from accidentally harming, killing, and causing all this suffering to fellow living beings. Even though you may say it's unintentional, but the lack of heedfulness leading to all such things, it may not have a very severe direct coming implication, but it will have its coming effect. Because in future, you may also have such condition because you did it to all these animals, the ants or whatever insects, without knowing it means cohesiveness. In future, when there is condition, you end up taking birth as the ants or what, people will do all this back to you. So you will have the condition for you to be harmed or to be hurt. So all this can be developed through an understanding if you really cultivate according to understanding. So if you can be mindful and heedful, you can avoid a lot of things. You can avoid a lot of coming consequences, friction, of condition for them to arise in the future. So this is one aspect. The other aspect is if you can maintain mindfulness, awareness, your mind is very different, you are very sensitive. You can feel the nature there. Then I remember on the way back from the cable car, I saw Sui An took a photo of one of the signs. If I'm not wrong, it's about nature. He said, learn to love nature. There are many things about nature. So people who put the sign, they also have this kindness, goodness, making the visitor or the tourist feel the need to have love. When you love the environment, when you can appreciate the environment, your mind is different. There is joy, then there is harmony, there is synergy, and many other things. Then when you are mindful and heedful, you're silent, there is a lot of vibration within nature. Especially the cable car area, the insect sound, the various type of vibration within nature. Then if you silence your mind, if you are not really the agitated type, the excited type who become heedless in the midst of all this scenery, you will know how to feel the nature there. So like the teaching, Dhamma is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. The characteristics of nature is everywhere. Truth is everywhere. Why can't you see? Why can't you perceive them? Why can't you come to understand them? So these are the conditions that can arise if you have the understanding, the cultivation, the faith, the mindfulness, the heedfulness. So this is one aspect of cultivation that Kayamita should develop when you are on spiritual trip. Then later on, when you travel on your own, when you develop your own daily life or daily mindfulness, it is just an extension of cultivation leading to the entire activity in life. Means you have to develop the daily mindfulness in the midst of life, whether at home doing your duty, household duty or kiosk, at the office while working, then when you are traveling as a tourist, or when you are doing your errand in the midst of life, attending to things, visiting all the authority that you're supposed to visit to pay your bills, to renew your car insurance, or even renew your road tax and other things, then your assessment rank, any other things that you have to deal with. Then sometimes you are involved in business activity, relationship, and many other things. You can have mindfulness, heedfulness, the faith, you will become deeper. So this is what cultivation is all about. It's about life. Then in between, there are conditions for Dhamma to arise. And I can recall there was one incident when I was at the platform on top, where you all were observing the Yang Yuan Shi, was it? Yang Yuan Shi. So you remember the scenery was quite beautiful. Then there was a flight of steps going further up to see another, don't know what, scenario from the top. I saw Ching Kiap, they all sweating. Brother Ting also sweating. And I think Brother Chong also sweating, but they were very happy because they say good exercise. Then especially Ching Kiap, he was almost 80% soaked in sweat. So these are the things that you do, normal people also do. But if you are mindful and heedful, it will be different. Then you will get to learn many things. Then I remember Mi Feng came and see me. He said, "But you are not going out." I said, "I'm not going out." Then I told her, "Silence your mind. You will receive more. You will feel more. You will develop more understanding." Then she smiled. She did. Then later on, Igby was there. Then somehow condition arise. We start to talk. Then the Dhamma start to flow. It was about our last night sharing. Then I share certain aspect of the Dhamma with them. Then I told them, "Don't worry, because what I share last night, even though not recorded, but it is all in the book, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way, that I have given out. So you read it, develop the understanding, then if you got any question you ask me, there will be causes and conditions for me to again reshare what I shared last night. What I shared last night was quite beautiful." Then they learn many things. Then Brother Song also came and see me, talk to me. Then I also explained certain things to him. Then apart from that, I think on the way down, Igby asked me a very good question. He said, "Brother Teo, I read somewhere," he said, "about right thought. Right thought," he said, "according to what was described in the text, as long as you contemplate, reflect, or think about the Dhamma, then that is right thought. So what is your understanding? Is that statement correct, or is that statement reflecting the true cultivation or the teaching? What's your response?" Silent means what? It doesn't, like Baba Sri said. Because if you dwell on Dhamma, if that can become right thought, then everybody who dwell on Dhamma will have right thought. There will be no more wrong thought. But first of all, you have to ask yourself, what are the criteria behind defining right thought? According to the Buddha, right thought are thought that are free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So if you contemplate and reflect on the Dhamma, but if you don't have the wisdom and the understanding, your mental intention behind all those contemplation or arising of all those thoughts may not be the right thought. Then I explained further to Sister Igby. Then straight away she understands. Because I said, if you were to have this understanding, then if you were to be sensitive and mindful, whenever you contemplate on Dhamma or do all this, what actually is happening? As long as the mind don't have wisdom, has not awakened, the user of thought will have delusion, ignorance, especially psychiatry is self-delusion. And because of self-delusion, the egoic mind is there, the personality is there. When the personality is there, the me and the I and all this can be mine will be very strong. That's how the evil root arises, from self-delusion, psychiatry. You will have this egoic mind that will make you greedy, that will make you cling for drops, attached. Selfishness will also arise. Then that mind that has the egoic mind may also deludedly believe you exist. That's why you can be angry when things don't go your way. You can become emotional, unhappy. You can have fear, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. So this evil root will manifest because of self-delusion. So it's not easy to arise the right thought. Having understood this, you will have to come to an understanding in cultivation that to have right thought, I must have right view. Without right view, it's very difficult to have right thought. To have right view, you have to meditate, you have to be mindful, aware. Then you have to understand what constitutes evil. And the best way to check is the absence of evil is good. You don't have to try to be good, try to be loving, compassionate, or no need. The key factor is the absence of evil is good. That's why the Buddha said you have to understand the essential Dhamma, what constitutes evil, then develop mindfulness, heedfulness, to be sensitive, to be aware. And this mindfulness and heedfulness has to reach a level of stability that you are very sensitive. Then with the understanding of what constitutes evil, you can arise the four right effort to constantly purify yourself. Initially, it's at the thought level, at the mental intention level. So whenever you have this wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, you are mindful, you are heedful, you can arise the right effort to abandon it. Then later on, when you have developed more and more mindfulness, right understanding, then you have straightened your view. The moment you see them about to arise, the intention behind it has not become what they call transgression yet. It has not really strongly arise yet. You can nip it at the bud by arising the right effort to prevent it from arising. And this one is not suppression. This one is the right effort to have that ability to just stop it from arising. Then you have to use the five ways to overcome unwholesome thought to be able to do it. The first way is to think of the direct opposite wholesome thought. And this one not always will work. Sometimes it may not work because it's too thought-based. And every time you got problem, you think of the direct opposite wholesome thought, you cannot live life. You cannot deal with situation. You every time have to silence yourself, then think of the direct opposite wholesome thought. The second way is to reflect on the consequence, the danger of holding on to this wrong thought, where there are evil roots, root of all evil, make you evil, cause your karmic negativity and downfall. So what you should do is, you should be mindful of it and determine through right understanding that you have to abandon this wrong thought, where it will lead to karmic negativity. It will give rise to negativity of karma. So this is how you develop. These first two are still thought-based. The third way is just understand that the evil root that arise, like greed, hatred, anger, or fear, they are not you. They are dependent originating, condition arising, mind state are they. And like any mind state, they have the characteristics of impermanence. They come and they go. They arise because of condition, they cease because of condition. So understanding this mindfully, leading to the penetrative awakening of their universal characteristics or impermanence, leading to the other two universal characteristics of suffering and not self or empty nature, but allow you to develop a deeper understanding, which is the wisdom behind all this. So if you are to just silence your mind and be with that anger, be with that emotion, it can be fear, it can be greed, it can be craving, lust, desire, or whatever it is. The very flowering of that thought is the very ending of that thought or emotion. So if you go through it with a silent mind in stable meditation, you will start to understand if anger is not me, greed is not me, fear is not me, all this evil mental state is not me, then why should I suppress it, control it, deal with it? I only need to understand that they are not me, and I don't feed it with any more wrong thoughts, so I need to straighten my view, so that in future when I see the same thing, or see something, hear something, smell something, taste that garlic feel, or think of something, my mind will not respond the old way, it will not react and stir, it will have the right understanding to see things as they are, to accept things the way it is. People are just the way they are, the world is the world. Conditioned like that, things will have to be like that, it cannot be otherwise. I need to develop understanding to come to terms with the realities of all things. You develop this strengthening of view, and right understanding, you will have more peace, more calmness, more opportunity to be with the moment in silent awareness, to be at peace with all things or all situations in life. And this is how mindfulness can bring about great transformation in you. When you straighten your view, your wrong view become less, your ignorant avijja become less. So when ignorance is reduced or attenuated, sankara, which is the first two link, avijja paccaya sankara, will be weakened. And when that is weakened, you will have less thought, you will have more calmness, peacefulness, space between thought, until finally there is just space, spaciousness, more moment of quietness, peacefulness, silent meditative nature within. And this is how your daily mindfulness will become different. You will stabilize until your mindfulness becomes very stable. Then you can be in the state of peacefulness, because during that time, with that right view, right understanding, and the stability of mindfulness, you can cultivate Noble Eightfold Path leading to peacefulness. And that is how the cultivation is to be developed. So without right understanding, cultivation may not go the way you want it to be. And that is the reason why I always remind cultivators, if you cannot have this understanding that nothing frees the mind except wisdom, you will never progress along the path of Dhamma. So the egoic mind, with the thought actively trying to develop all this meditation or right thought, is in fact a hindrance to meditation. It will prevent you from developing the understanding or awakening to the essential Dhamma. Well, when thought is involved, before the form and mind has the wisdom and the awakening, thought will always be wrong thought. So you can't use thought when you don't have the right view, the straightening of view that arises through either the first turning, second turning, or the third turning, contemplative wisdom of the second turning, and the direct seeing, bhavana unapanya, wisdom born of bhavana, means the meditative training. Then you have your past cultivation, the first turning, the moment you hear truth, you may awaken, just like Winning's nature and some of the great practitioners. So this is how Dhamma can come about. This is how cultivation is to be developed and understood. So these are the few key points that came about because of condition, and you can reflect upon it, develop the understanding by listening to the recording again. It will help you in many, many ways. Then the other thing that you can develop is as we travel, if you are tired, you can rest. But rest with awareness within, silent your mind. If the body wants to rest, let it rest. Then you know how to maintain the awareness within. What will happen is, the moment you snore or about to go into the unconscious, you will be aware. And that is what sati is all about. So develop the ability to be aware in the midst of life. That stabilizes it. After that, your daily mindfulness will improve. And you have to determine to be aware. Means that sincere faith and intention to be heedful. That's why the Buddha said that one you have to strive on to do. Strive on with heedfulness. Not strive on to cultivate to become enlightened. No. Strive on with heedfulness. Heedfulness means develop the ability to be mindful and stabilize it to be ever mindful. Then use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. That one you have to develop it, cultivate it diligently. That over certain period of cultivation, you have to maintain the understanding. Don't try to know. Just develop the faith, the sincerity, and persevere. Just do. Then when the time comes, when the mind enters the deep, the form and mind will know. The form and mind on its own connected to the cultivation. It will know what sati is. Then when sati arises, you will be completely different. Then you come to realize a very strange thing happening. Your mind is always with the physical movement, with phenomena. That's why sati is always there. Your mind has entered sati. You are one with all phenomena. May it be physical, nature's phenomena, or mental phenomena. Then you will have the ability to be aware through specific phenomenal awareness or spacious awareness without a center. And your mind is most of the time peaceful, cool, silent, without thought. It's just like you have this shade with you all the time. That no matter how harsh the external condition is, that mind that has the understanding will always be peaceful. Even know how to develop the endurance, the acceptance, and accord and flow. And all this is part and parcel of Dhamma, of real cultivation. So you can reflect and contemplate on what is shared. It can bring forth a new understanding, which we all have already developed through the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta. That's why this spiritual trip of visiting the Six Patriarch temple that we covered, I think, yesterday. The first one is the place he ordained, and where the flag and the wind incident was mentioned, as explained by me yesterday. If you re-listen to the recording of yesterday, you will develop the understanding. Then the beauty about Hui Ning's teaching is he went to Nanhua Si and he taught a lot of important, beautiful teaching. He taught for 37 years according to the record that we saw. Then his nature, his vibration, his energy, they can still be felt and they are everywhere in the midst of life and nature. Then like I explained to some of the Kayanamita, the great beings nature, they are ever radiating for the cultivator of the way. Radiating for the cultivator of the way means if you are sincere, you have the faith, you develop the spiritual faculty, then you can develop affinity with them because you take refuge with them. Then you can develop the spiritual faculty to understand spiritual teaching. Apart from that, because of your mindfulness, your heedfulness, the spiritual faculty, and your affinity and your understanding, it will arise the causes and conditions for your vow to take effect. So just like what we all do, even for Theravada tradition, after every spiritual session, you share merit, transfer merit, then you make aspiration for your nature to always avoid the foolish, without the wise, so that enlightenment in the here and now can be realized. So if you know how to invoke power of merits for causes and conditions, you will be able to arise the causes and conditions for your vow to be fulfilled. But for the vow to be fulfilled, you need to have certain understanding. You don't just vow like a parent. That if you vow, even though not like a parent with the faith and other things, but if you fail to see the lack of depth your vow is, you will still not benefit from it, because you can vow by the power of all this merit may arise the causes and condition for you to avoid all the foolish and the heedless, made out with the wise and the enlightened one, so that Nibbana can be realized as soon as possible. But the problem is, you didn't make the aspiration to understand what constitutes heedlessness, foolishness. Who are the foolish and the heedless that you have to avoid? If you don't develop that understanding, you may not get that aspiration fulfilled. Then you must also have the ability to vow, to recognize who are the worthy ones, the enlightened ones, so that when you arise again in future, you can recognize them. Otherwise, many things can happen. And I gave Ingvi the example, I think, regarding the five ascetics before Sakyamuni Buddha met up with them to deliver the first sermon, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, followed by Anatta Lakkhana Sutta. You remember? We were doing the sharing in our Tuesday class a few weeks back. The five ascetics, when they met the Buddha at that time, Sakyamuni, they refused to even acknowledge him. They refused initially to serve him, to honor him like before, because they have a negative perception of what Sakyamuni has done. They thought he is no longer serious about the way. He has reverted back to luxurious type of living. He has started to eat, fed himself again, and all those things. So even monks of such long cultivation can have this type of wrong view. What more the living being of today? If you don't have this essential Dhamma understanding of what constitutes evil, what constitutes heedlessness, the heedless, or the foolish, then who are the wise and the enlightened one? You really will not have the ability to fulfill your whatever aspiration or your vow. So this is one aspect that you have to develop understanding. Where you cultivate the understanding, then you will progress. Otherwise you become gullible. People make this type of aspiration and vow, you also make. Because you can also argue with me, Virtue, isn't this in the sutta? The Buddha teaches how to chant Imina punyang kamina Mami bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu Yawa nivana patiya. This is what I have done. This is what I did. I follow the Buddha. Nothing wrong. But do you understand why the Buddha at that time just teach this? We are those who were with him at that time. They are different. He was a Samasa Buddha, the arisen. Then during that time, when he mentioned that, the monks, those people who follow him, most of them, they know what constitutes heedlessness, what constitutes foolishness, and who are the wise, because they chant the salutation to the Sangha, the enlightened being. The enlightened being has four qualities. That's why we chant Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangha. So the meaning is very clear. This enlightened disciple of the Buddhas, the four pairs of noble beings, they have these four qualities. They have good conduct, upright conduct. They are very wise. They got wise conduct. And they do their duty very well. They are of dutiful conduct. So this is how you differentiate them. That if you can't find this quality in them, then they are not the noble ones. They are not the enlightened ones. Yeah. So these are the teaching that you have to develop the understanding. So you cannot just say, I follow the sutta. A lot of people follow the sutta. But how many can understand the sutta? When you go into cultivation, you will uncover more and more things. Then you will know where the problem is and what are the things that cultivator need to pay attention to develop the understanding and the cultivation. So this is the essential understanding that you have to pay attention to cultivate the understanding, so that when you move on with your cultivation from now on, because it's recorded, when you understand this clearly, your cultivation will become different. Then what we need to understand is, Hui Ning's teaching is very unique. He takes the cultivator direct to the true mind. He doesn't want you to waste time on the mundane mind, which is thought-based meditation. Then I remember Mandy asked me one question. He said, Brother Teo, how can we help those people who are doing thought-based? So it's not a question of helping. Her question could be slightly different. He said, what can we do to like make them understand? Or assist them so that they can understand. I say it is very difficult because people are just the way they are. The karmic background, the conditioning, their karmic nature, all this will condition their life accordingly. That's the reason why the Buddha said we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. If we understand this, then we will not interfere. Unless there is condition, we will not do anything. Yeah. But when there is condition, it's different. Then you try your best to share. If you cannot, then you tell them, I learned this from somebody. Maybe you can have a look at this book. If there's anything you don't understand, you can ask. Or a better way is for him to come and find out for himself. He said there are classes conducted by me. So if you want to join us, you are free to join us. Then as Kalyanamitas, there is no rules. It's just an informal gathering of Kalyanamitas. We are Kalyanamita is because we are Dhamma friends. Mita are friends. Kayana means Dhamma. So Dhamma friends means Buddhist cultivator or practitioner who walk the path of Dhamma. We cultivate according to the essential Dhamma as taught by the Buddha. And in this era, this sasana is Sakyamuni Buddha. So these are essentially the important understanding. That if it points direct to the true mind, you have to understand this true mind as taught by Hui Ning is actually your silent mind. Without thought, you are already aware. The mind that is without thought is your true mind. When you are aware without thought, that is your meditative mind or silent mind. So all this, if you want to develop understanding, I think just now they were conditioned to, because of one dirty joke that one of the Taoyu from the other tour group, not our tour group, maybe I share this part, but pardon me if it's something that you may not like to listen. You remember when we were at the peak where you look at the yin and the yang stone formation? I think we are at the timber platform below. the platform where you all were having a nice time taking the scenery, the photo and all those things. Then there's a lot of activity and promotion out there too. Then some of them walk up further, some walk the other side, then some just stay around there. So what happened is, when I heard Brother Mr. Er and our guy, what is our guy's name already? Owen, said we have to meet down there, assemble down there, so we all can go down first. So I remember I went down with my wife in video, and even Pharmacy, they were ahead of me. So when we were down there, then we saw the other group, one lady announcing, said, you all take the staircase up, but all in Mandarin, Wang Chen Zhou. Then the other Taoyu that was together with her, also, I think must be China, he speak Mandarin. He created a dirty joke. He said, you walk up, he said, Wang Shang Zhou, Kan Jia De. You understand the meaning, right? You go up, follow the staircase, you will see the fake one up there. Then he said, Wang, turn left is what? Zhou Shou, Wang Zhou. He pointed to the toilet, you know. Kan Zhen De. You understand? Because you need to go to the washroom. You can see the real one in the toilet, is it? But the up there, the hilltop, the platform one is the false one. So, because of that joke, the Dhamma came about. Then I remember there was one saying that I shared with people in the Heart Sutta book. The rhyme is the same. It's something to do with the heedless thinking leading to delusion. So what I shared in the Heart Sutta was based on Miss Lee's question. Miss Lee at that time, I think about 2 years ago or what, I forgot already. He came and asked me, he said, Bratio, Bratio, my teacher Bo Yan Zhang Lao, which was the disciple, direct disciple of Xu Yin Lao He San, he wrote this. He said, Qi Xing Dong Nian. You understand this meaning, right? Qi Xing means if you are to arise the mind, it will lead to mental activity. Qi Xing Dong Nian. So it's like the Theravada teaching. Avijja Paccaya Sankhara. So the moment thought arises, if you don't have wisdom, it will give rise to mental activity. So that the other part was also true. Qi Xing Dong Nian. Dong Nian Yi Wu Ming means if you arise, Sankhara means you have avijja, delusion. Then Wu Nian, that one is very important. That is the message I wanted to share. The meaning is when there is no thought, that is your true mind. This is how you understand Kuei Neng's teaching. You must cultivate with the silent mind. We are the direct seed, which I always share with you. When you are in sati without thought, you are already aware. You are already with the silent mind. You are already with the meditative mind. And this is the one that don't meditate, that don't know, don't do anything. It's just silently aware. And with the faith, sada, virya, sati, the spiritual faculty will develop. The stability of mind will be established. Then samadhi will arise. With sati and samadhi means clarity of awareness, and the mind not stirring, collected and unwavering, you can see things as they are. Then you will awaken to the truth, which is the last spiritual faculty, panya, wisdom. So the five spiritual faculty will fall into place. Then when there is this wisdom, you will straighten your view, you will develop the right understanding, you will weaken your avijja, which is ignorance, then your cultivation will progress. Well, when there is less ignorance or delusion, there is less sankhara, less thinking, which means you are more calm, more aware, more peaceful, more serene, and more cool within inwardly. There is no more mental hindrance, no more agitation, because your five spiritual faculties are there. Then when you stabilize all this, it becomes powers, spiritual powers or balance. And that is how it builds up the factors of enlightenment, leading to the understanding of truth and Dhamma. Then the four foundations of mindfulness become very easy. Then the seven factors of enlightenment, they will also arise. Then all of the essential Dhamma within the four foundations of mindfulness, you understand. So this is what Kuei Neng's teaching is all about, taking you direct to the true mind, so that you will not become like before, heedless, using the wrong instrument to meditate. So thought-based meditation has this problem. There is always the meditator there, which is the thought, actively meditating, noting, counting, or doing meditation. As long as the thought is active, it cannot be mindful, it cannot be aware, it cannot be silent. You cannot develop the progress. If you read the salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, especially the Dhamma, you will know what is this Dhamma that the Buddha taught. Yeah, its characteristics are all there. The Buddha said, Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo. Well expounded is the Dhamma by the Buddha. Then he said, this Dhamma is very unique. This Dhamma is Sanditko, Akaliko, Ehipasiko, Opanaiko, that Pacheta Veditato Vinohiti. So this Dhamma is very unique in the sense that it will lead to all this, and this, when they arise, it is the real Dhamma. If your cultivation doesn't bring you to have this type of understanding, then that is not the Dhamma as taught by the Buddha. He said, this teaching of his, the realization, is sanditiko. You can realize them in the here and the now, no need to wait till death. So if they promise you after death only, you can realize eternal heaven, or whatever safe passage to somewhere, you better be careful, because you cannot prove it unless you die. What happens if you die and that thing is not carried through? So you will have problems. So sanditiko is one aspect of the Dhamma. Then akaliko, and this one is most important for cultivator, because this Dhamma is timeless, beyond thought, beyond time. So if you are within the field of thought, trapped in the field of thought, you are using the wrong instrument. Your instrument can never realize a state which is beyond what your instrument can give to you, because yours is thought-based. That's the reason why thought cannot see awareness, but awareness can be aware of thought, because awareness is responsible for thought. I always share with you all, we have this five aggregate of form and mind. The mental aggregate of feeling, perception, activity of mind and consciousness, Vedana, Sanya, Sankara and Vijnana. So all this we have to understand, they are mind aggregates. So these mind aggregates, they are within the field of thought. These are the content of consciousness. Then the perception brings in the form. So as long as you are within this aggregate, which is the mundane mind, the conditioned arising mind, you are within thought itself, within the field of thought. And the movement of thought is time. That's why you can never realize the timeless. The timeless is the unconditioned, no movement. Where according to the Buddha, mind is a foreign of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises. Everything is created by the mind. Like the Mahayana say, 一切为心造, 心造成的. So when your mind arises, samsara arises, phenomena will arise, everything arises. When mind sees, everything sees. That's how the unconditioned can be realized. So if you meditate with the thought,
which is within the field of thought, you can never realize the timeless. That is essentially what the teaching is all about. So given this understanding, you will come to a clear understanding that no amount of thought-based meditation can bring forth the awakening. So this is the essential understanding. So with this, I will end my sharing. Then you can silence your mind, feel the nature, then develop your own understanding. If you want to rest, you can rest. Okay, thank you. Yeah, over.